Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraJab Radio Network.
Good evening, everyone. Glad you could tune in tonight. It is our official launch for the spring-summer season, so 1 and 2 hour shows for the next 12, 16 weeks or so, and we hope to bring you valuable insight, information, and debates on issues affecting our world and the future of our society in general. We hope you interact with us either by calling into the live show or expressing your opinions through our virtual tech studio on blogtalkradio.com or by email, and we'll send that to you in just a little while. Riding shotgun with me tonight, of course, is Humac. And the phone line shall be open until 50 minutes before the end of the show. So get comfortable, kick back, smoke 'em and drink 'em if you got 'em. The show will be with you in 1 minute.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraJab Radio Network. 347-324-3287.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost, is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
Ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you could dial in to us. And as I said earlier, 12, 16 weeks or so, we'll be on the air every week, every Tuesday night, as often as possible, so we can bring you information and debate on issues affecting our world and the future of our society in general. We do invite you to make contact. We do look forward to interacting with you, so please give the phone some thought or an email, and we'll give you the email address in a little while. Remember, the phones will be live until 15 minutes before the end of the show, and we hope you'll express your opinion or information or even type it into our virtual tech studio, which can be found on the Blog Talk webpage at TerraChatNet or VOCR2012@gmail.com, so we can get it up onto an editorial on the Spy blog. Riding shotgun with me tonight, of course, is the world-famous Hugh Mack. Good evening, Hugh. How are you doing tonight, sir?
What a billing. World-famous. How did I get world-famous, Colin?
Well, because we're around the world, you know, as we're signaling right now, Hugh, we're banging off something like 115 countries. So I think that's pretty well around the world.
Okay, yeah, I know. I'm just not sure it's like the neighbor being famous locally because you shook his hand once or something, you know.
it's famous because we say you're famous. How's that?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Yeah. What the hell? Huh? Hey, what do you think's going on with this darn Malaysian plane? Now they're saying that somebody has found some wreckage or some subterranean damage in the Bay of Bengal. I mean, that's the opposite way. It's what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, and the last I heard, they were denying it or something. The officials were denying it. Some guy found he was out in a boat or whatever and caught something down there with his sonar and reported it. But then officials denied it.
You know, there's a couple of things with this incident that I got to say have me a little unnerved. One, that you could lose such a plane. I mean, totally lose it. It was gone from radar. It was off the map. How you could lose something like that, that to me, terrifies me. And another thing is, we claim to be able to read license plates in Red Square, yet the photographs that I've seen of their satellite images, I think Google do a better job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that too, Colin. I think the technology that's out there, there's no way they couldn't possibly know where it is if it went down. There's so many fail-safes, so much equipment that's built in there to communicate information after the fact. And I don't believe for a second that somebody doesn't know where it is. But I was just reading some, you know, headline type stuff, and I seen where the families, some of the families or some family, anyways, say there was Navy fighter jets escorting the plane.
Wow!
Now how true that is, I don't know. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I read a story from one of the relatives, the American relatives on the plane, that claims they received a photograph by webcam or by camera emailed to them after the plane had disappeared. And I haven't seen the photograph, so I can't attest to what it looks like. I think
whoever that family member is, Colin, I encourage them, if you're listening, publish it. Put it on YouTube. Put it out there everywhere, so there can be no cover-ups.
Right, right. Well, the teaser tonight was World War III, where we're heading as far as a universal march to war. So we will delve into those murky waters tonight, Hugh. We'll talk about world domination and annihilation of mankind and those kind of things. So, what do you think that Vladimir Putin is all about right now? Why would he take the action that he has taken against Ukraine in the manner that he did that? Is that purely a reading of weakness against the President of the United States or the Western world?
No, I don't think so. My guess is that Vladimir Putin either... officially as the head of Russia or unofficially as a private entrepreneur, probably has a lot of money to lose if certain things get out of hand in the Ukraine. And I mean, I'm just guessing. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. When it comes right down to it, we're not getting any real information from anybody. But if you ask me, it's all show. I mean, all the tension that's gone on since World War II between the Russians and the Americans, and not really a shot has ever been fired between the two of them.
Cold War.
You know, I mean, I'm of the belief that the Cold War was a scam. It was a scam to keep us all in fear while they divvied up the world, which is really what they've done. And this is probably the final... you know, the final piece of real estate that needs to be decided is the Middle East, and they've got to distract people somehow. So, I don't know.
Well,
I don't see the Americans and the Russians going into battle. They might finance lesser countries, smaller countries to do battle, but they're not going to go into battle against each other. Whatever this is, I think is gonna either get worked out at lower levels or like I said, you know, between smaller countries. The ones involved would be nice. Them alone and let them fight it out, and there wouldn't be a
right.
problem.
I received an email from the Daily Informer. It's one of those underground blogs. Pretty impressive. A lot of good information there. And this from the Daily Informer. The Obama administration and the hotheads in Congress are threatening to hit Russia with economic sanctions for moving troops into the Crimea. Those sanctions would sting a little bit, but what our politicians should be made aware of is the fact that Russian officials are promising to respond if economic sanctions are imposed upon them. One top Kremlin advisor is even suggesting that Russia could abandon the U.S. dollar and start dumping U.S. debt. In addition, he is also suggesting that if sanctions are imposed, Russian companies would not repay the debts that they owe U.S. banks, and Russia could do far more economic damage to the United States than the United States could do to Russia. You know, when I read stuff like that, I get a really sickening feeling.
Yeah, but it's all money, Colin. And money is just money is just numbers on an electronic computer now. So what they're saying essentially, if you take the money out of the equation, what they're saying essentially is that Russia, between Russia and the United States and whoever else, they're going to divvy up more real estate in a different way, and it's all based on debt, which is money, and money is just money is so manipulable.
Well,
you know,
I have a feeling,
and again, this is what I'm saying, though. I think it's just this is just all show. When you break it right down,
I have a feeling. I have a feeling that Putin and others simply waited for the weakness in the United States resolve. I think the Crimea and Iran and their nuclear ambitions and Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq, I think they were all responses to certain weaknesses in the administration, in the West in general. And
Stalin said that give the West enough rope and they'll hang themselves. And they've just essentially sat back and let us do it.
Well, Putin knows.
When I say us, I mean I didn't spend the money, but
Putin
knows.
Putin knows that the West cannot afford that we cannot afford another protracted war. Putin knows that.
Well, I think everybody knows that, Colin. Everybody knows that. That's not a secret.
So I think timing-wise, it was a very strategic move on his behalf.
I think probably Obama knows it, so he should shut his yap. You know, I mean, we can't afford another war, so don't posture like you're ready to go to one.
Yeah, don't draw another line in the sand that you know. You're going to cross and then draw another one. I mean, he proved that in Syria.
Don't show up at a knife fight with a gun. Or the
don't
other
show
way
up
around.
At a gunfight with a knife.
Don't
show up at... Yeah, don't show up at a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
I mean, it's something to talk about, and it's certainly something that's affecting the world in a negative way. I don't mean to downplay it, but I really believe that most of it is hype. What's going on this planet that's really grabbing control is far beyond the ones that are standing there talking war.
Okay.
Are we talking
the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Gray Men? Are we talking?
Probably, but even CIA and KGB, these are intelligence organizations, and they've been doing this. I mean, look what happened in Afghanistan. The first thing they did, CIA grabbed the poppy fields, and they control the drug trade around the world. if not own it completely outright. And probably a lot of the governments, they're the intelligence arm of the powers that be, and they operate independent of government. So what I'm saying is whatever is going on, Putin and Obama probably have very little to say about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably dancing to a tune that's already been well written. I'm quite sure of that.
They're doing the sales pitch.
Yeah, yeah, they're the snake oil salesman. Remember we talked about this, you know, and that's what bothers me is the information. You know my feelings regarding mainstream media. They're just rating whores. That's all they are, you know. And my problem is that from an experiment and a discovery. That was used purely as propaganda, a propaganda tool. That's all it was designed for, and I'm talking about television and radio. It was merely designed for propaganda. And
yes.
We've managed to mix in the entertainment side of mainstream media, but
Which is also mostly propaganda.
Absolutely. But the end game is propaganda. You know, most popular shows on TV show you what to eat, what to do with your life, how to be, how to think, you know, how to react, these kind of things. You're yeah. being programmed on a commercial basis. I mean, en masse.
Television even in its earliest days was doing that too. I mean, imagine the shame of the housewife that had ring around the collar. You know, if she didn't get that ring out of her husband's collar, she was just useless as a housewife. And
she was a nothing.
And, but it's being used today on such a far grander scale because the technology can get billions more or trillions more bites of information into your head with every visual image, every time the screen refreshes.
Oh, absolutely.
They can, you know, and the control factor is phenomenal.
Now, I wonder to myself, you know, we hear the stories that the Obama administration had managed to capture, if you will, the media, because they certainly were in favor of him without telling the real truth of much of what was going on. So once he's captured that, he's got the world when you think about it, because en masse he is promoting his agenda or the agenda of his party.
Yeah, and a few small outlets control most of the media around the world, and they're feeding the same thing to the Chinese on their mainstream media as they're feeding to the Russians as they're feeding to us. It's the same crap, the same agenda. We're all getting it because the corporations are all international now, the ones that control the other corporations. There's no mom and pop businesses anymore. It's all and the dollar rises slowly to the top, it's still on the top though that you don't get to see. And this is why I don't take Putin or Obama too seriously, because they're not the ones. It's not their agenda. They're just pushing it.
Right. I'd be very, very curious to find out who's writing this agenda in the end run. You know, we talked about Bilderbergs and Carlyle Group and the Illuminati and the New World Order and the Masons and extraterrestrials and you name it, somebody's been blamed for this at one time or another, but there is a concise effort from what I can see to move everybody into a one world governance. They tried it with the United Nations, and we seen what a den of thieves that turned out to be. But
well,
the next incarnation.
We're already essentially down to three world governments right now, Colin, I think, because you've got the what amounts to the Asian Economic Association. Which, you know, includes many of the countries in the Middle East. You've got the European Union. And you've yep. got the North American Union for all intents and purposes. And, you know,
yep.
I mean,
you've got
this isn't just a pact between countries. Yeah, this is now government. You know, our sovereignty doesn't exist anymore because there's a North American court that can overrule our own Supreme Court. So we have no sovereignty anymore. Not us, not the United States, not Mexico. And whether or not we're using the same currency doesn't really matter because the whole world's trading in American dollars anyways. So
for now,
yeah. And again, that's part of the control. Why is everybody American dollars? Why aren't you trading in the currency of your own country?
Right. Because American dollar carries the highest yield.
And gives America more control than anybody else.
Oh, yeah, and it's an artificial yield because the American dollar isn't backed by anything other than I promise to pay the bearer. That's it.
Well,
it's just a promise
from
the government.
No dollar is backed by anything anymore.
No,
it's all just nothing set out, you know, predominantly by the Rothschilds, presumably. I'm not claiming that. I just have heard that from time to time. I don't know. All the stuff that's put there before us, anything the mainstream media talks about, anything the politician talks about is probably crap right off the bat. And they'll throw in some truth if the truth suits the agenda.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned about the Rothschild, and I told you this story off the air the other night, and I'll bring it up onto the air. But regarding the missing Malaysian plane, apparently there were a dozen or so very highly technical individuals that were heading over to their head office in China. They were an American organization, but they had an office in China. And apparently on board this plane, four of these people had a technology patent for a new induction semiconductor inducer kathingamabob, and the fifth owner of the same patent was Rothschild, which in the end, if these people are not found alive, then that patent will revert to Rothschild 100%. Now, isn't that an interesting twist in the loop?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying anything, Colin.
I'm sure if you turn on the mainstream media, they're going to tell you that's just a coincidence and a wacko conspiracy theory. No, I agree with you. I think that the Rothschilds are certainly an affluent family, certainly an influential family, and would be more than able to pull that off if that's what they felt they needed to do. I don't think that that's such a wacko theory that you know, if you connect that to the Flight 370 disappearance, I don't think that you're really there. And I don't know why that hasn't been explored. I don't know why more people don't jump on stuff like that. I really don't understand why most people, you know, think conspiracy theories are anything but theories that are thought out and you know, lines drawn to connect dots.
I just get very concerned with throwing a conspiracy theory on top of a conspiracy theory on top of another one without coming to any kind of resolution. That's what drives me nuts with conspiracy theories. You know, the Obama issue, for one. If, in fact, they have proof that his birth certificate is a fake, and if, in fact, they can prove that he is not from the United States, and if, in fact, et cetera, do it. Let's get it up. Let's go. Instead of this, it just keeps coming around and around and around about all of these negative things.
it also raises the question, Colin, why wasn't this information demanded? How can you run for president of the United States if you can't produce an American birth certificate? Why was he allowed to run before that birth certificate was produced? Why was he allowed to run before a lot of these questions were answered?
Well, now there's a big question regarding when he was a senator. He traveled on a special pass, a special passport, a senator's passport, which basically is a almost diplomatic immunity passport all the way around the world. And they want to know now how he passed that grade without the official paperwork. So, you know, it's, you know?
Yeah, and so this is two events that we're talking about, and there are others. I've heard others. How much play they're getting, I don't know. But I mean, if you get three, how many of these mysteries does it take to make you wonder about this guy? Or are you still going to sit back and say, well, that's okay. Our government wouldn't let this happen if it's got to be all right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Again, you're relying on the government to tell you the truth, and I think the truth is only
there is
a last resort for a government. The truth is the last resort. Everything else is just...
And of course, the propaganda theorists very rarely get mainstream media airtime to discuss it.
I watched a video that actually shows it was a video that was done by a psychologist who actually understands the psychology of what's going on here. And he showed a long interview. I can't remember who it was with, but they did their best. And he went through all the tactics that they use that they use all the time to discredit this guy, not to actually come out and say you're a wacko, but to ask questions and that mm-hmm. in such a way that he's going to trip on himself, he's going to panic, and they were relentless. And I thought this particular guy stood his ground pretty well, but I mean, they'll do that, and they know how to do it because they have access to the information. These mainstream media outlets are rich, huge conglomerations that have access to the research, same research and probably better research than the government does.
Yep. And I have to wonder, we haven't solved the JFK assassination, for God's sake. There's so many theories about that, and that's out there lingering in the air. We don't know what happened to Hoffa. Those questions and theories, we don't know what happened, whether Nixon was fully involved in Watergate or whether he got sucked in because of his egotistical manner that he had, because he didn't like to know about the details. Just get the effing thing done. And that's where in comes G. Gordon Liddy, right? And I don't know if Nixon ever knew the level that G. Gordon Liddy had decided to go to resolve a problem. And you go on and on and on, and governments and citizens alike, we forget things. In Canada, a prime example was the Liberal scandal where millions of dollars had been sequestered out of the tax coffers for a very biased promotion on behalf of the Liberal Party. Millions went missing, and they didn't pay it all back. They paid some of it back, but they didn't pay it all back. Yet we have no accounting. It's off the table, and we've moved on to the Senate reform. We've moved on to the Senate scandals, and it's one scandal after another. The problem with Benghazi never did get resolved. They talked about it, and they had a commission on it, and then the next problem came along, and then the next emergency, and then the next crisis,
and
Benghazi a whisper.
Yeah, and how much money was generated for a small during each one of these crises?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and not only that, I mean, many of these crises, the real upshot for the New World Order would be people are climbing over each other to give up their rights. You know, please,
yeah.
Government, look after this for us. Please, government,
right.
Look after that for it. And the fact of the matter is the government can't look after anything except their own interest.
Yeah. I tell you what, Hugh, we're going to take a quick break here. And
Sounds
we'll
break
up for a pause for the cause. And then we'll come back in for the last 30.
Okay, sounds good.
Hang in there.
Because every day we are seeing more and more efforts to strip away our Second Amendment rights. And our founders knew that our inherent right to defend life and property and freedom, it had to be enshrined. It was enshrined in America's most perfect blueprint to form a more perfect union. Of course, our Constitution. So it was enshrined. And they knew that if the Second Amendment goes, the rest of the Constitution is not far behind.
I think it's inexcusable that you did not know about this and that you did not read these cables. I would think by anybody's estimation, Libya has to have been one of the hottest of hot spots around the world. Not to know of the request for securities really, I think, cost these people their lives. Their lives could have been saved had someone been more available, had someone been aware of these things, more on top of the job. And the thing is I don't suspect you of bad motives. I don't think you were willfully. I don't suspect your motives of wanting to serve your country. But it was a failure of leadership not to be involved. It was a failure of leadership not to know these things. And so I think it is good that you're accepting responsibility because no one else is.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
347-324-3287.
Now, the powers that be are trying their level best, their darndest, to make Benghazi go away. This could be an impeachable offense against Obama. Most certainly is not going to fare well for Hillary Clinton for 2016 if she chooses to run. And the IRS scandal, yet to fully break on the Obama administration, may be the coup de grace. Here from the Free Beacon, another great email that I receive on a regular basis. Previously unreleased internal Obama administration emails show that a coordinated effort was made in the days following the Benghazi terror attacks to portray the incident as rooted in an internet video and not in a broader failed policy. Email sent by senior White House advisor Ben Rhodes to other top administration officials reveal an effort to insulate President Barack Obama from the attacks that killed 4 Americans. Rhodes sent this email to top White House officials such as David Plouffe and Jay Carney just a day before National Security Advisor Susan Rice made her infamous Sunday News show appearance to discuss the attack. Now, you know, when you start looking at this stuff, you know, it's like, for the love of God, you know, you're spending millions of dollars when you know what the outcome is. You know, the goal, according to the emails, according to the Free Beacon, was to underscore that these protests are rooted in internet video and not the broader failure of the policy. So,
yeah.
You know, it's clear that they dropped the ball. And they tried to cover it up, and the more they tried to cover it up, the bigger the smear. Just like Nixon and Watergate, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, now this raises the point: if your politicians, any politicians, but you know, our the Americans. If your politicians are willing to go to that extent to save their ass, what makes you think they're ever going to tell you the truth?
Yeah.
You know, and what makes you, what makes you think they're going to look after you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think the problem is I think you'd mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, is that the power base that they end up under, like Barack Obama, I'm absolutely sure he doesn't know what time of day it is or what day it is or what month it is unless he's told. I'm sure he has no concept of time. And he has no concept of cost. He doesn't know what his meal in the morning costs or his meal in the supper costs. He doesn't know what it's like to be out there on the street earning the money that the average person earns. He's lost that. He's lost that ability. Well, the moment he goes into the White House bubble,
did he ever have it? Did he ever have that ability?
Well, there's a good question. I don't know if he did. You know.
You
I don't know.
Do any of them ever have the ability to know what it's like for the average man to have to go out and bust his hump to make a living and put food on the table and work two or three jobs to get the income just to keep afloat?
Good old Joe Biden supposedly.
I don't believe that either. I don't believe that either. He tries to come across like he does, but
yeah,
he would
old smoking Joe.
Yeah, he wouldn't be there if he'd had to do that. I can't imagine why, if you ever had to live like that, why you would even consider running for office.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But that's me.
Here's another story that I got an email yesterday, and I thought this one was interesting. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, she signed a legislation to require the state's Department of Emergency and Military Affairs to prepare materials outlining what citizens need to know to deal with either a natural or man-made electromagnetic pulse event.
Uh-huh.
Now, isn't that interesting?
And
I thought that was just one of those blow stories. But the governor of Arizona has authorized a couple of government departments to put together a package to explain what citizens can do under an EMP event, whether it's man-made or natural.
Which for all intents and purposes, could amount to an apocalypse. You know, I mean, if the power goes out and nothing runs automatically anymore, it's going to be an apocalypse. Most people aren't going to know how to deal with that.
Well, I've told this story before, but it's worth telling. About a year and a half ago now, I was in the supermarket getting a few things, and my bill, when I get up to the teller, to the till, was $14.83. Right?
Yeah.
So I gave the girl $25. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And she said, it's only $14.87 or whatever it was. And I said, yeah, I'll take the change. Right?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So anyway. So totally out of whack she was. I mean, she was just totally out of whack. And she had to call a supervisor over to calculate it through of how to do it, because I'm giving her more money than what was owed, right? And that is the level. You know, I looked down by her till, and she had a bag of school books. So she's obviously a school kid or a university person, right?
Yeah, she seems to have played hooky a lot.
Well, they don't do calculation anymore. Monetary calculation, you know, is considered decimal, and that's it. There is no, you know, most of these kids, unfortunately, and I don't want to sound like this, because my father used to talk like this, and I thought, you know, when I get to his age, I'll never say that. But in my day, you used to be able to balance a checkbook. You know?
But you know what,
I used to do mathematics without a calculator. You know, like, come on now.
Yeah, you and I hail from roughly the same point in time, and I mean, we go back a long way. You look how much the technology has changed today, and with it, it's dumbed us down. It's got us multitasking when we should be contemplating and thinking. It's got us running from here to there when we should be sitting and relaxing. It's got us doing everything, and it's doing everything. It's providing the imagination for us, and I have no problem seeing why kids can't calculate and do math anymore. Why would you? It's a part of the brain you haven't used all your life. Now, you're talking right. Since you and me, maybe a couple of generations have gone through school and had kids of their own. It's generational now. It's not even back when we were kids. You know,
right.
That was a long time ago. And the times have changed so much. I mean, have you ever tried to explain to maybe a teenager nowadays what it meant to have a telephone hardwired into the wall where you couldn't move it from point A to point B? And yeah. They won't even get the concept of a wire.
Yeah. Oh, the remote control for the TV with a big wire leading into the TV, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know? Like, and you had these buttons you'd press down for the channels. Oh, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I you know, looking back on it, I look back on it almost fondly. But at the same time, we still wouldn't be able to survive if, like you said, an EMP hits and wipes out the electrical grids. You know, that this is anything that's got transistors, anything that's got circuit boards, any of that is gone, including vehicles, you know. ATM machines.
Well, this also raises an issue. I mean, when I was a kid, looking back on when I was a kid, I look back on it fondly. I mean, I had a good childhood, but mm-hmm. one of the things that made it a good childhood was back as when I was a kid, I was looking ahead and imagining a computer, certainly not what they are nowadays, but, you know, the kind you used to see in the old Doctor Who episodes or you
yep.
know, the Flash Gordon or yep. whatever. I'm sure you know what I'm talking
yep.
about, you know, with
I
little
do,
lights that go on and off and little toggle switches and, you know.
I remember when, Sonny.
But I used to be able to look forward to that, of watching the science fiction shows, as funny as they seem now, because, I mean, let's face
yeah.
it, they didn't have the technology to make them that they do now. But
it's true.
That's the point, too. I mean, we got to look backwards at history. We have to, you know, does history repeat itself? Are we going to make the same mistakes as other civilizations? Are we going to go by the wayside like the Mayans and go back through whatever
yeah, Romans.
You want to call it history, yeah? And are we going to go the way of them? Maybe, but. You know, we can't spend too much time looking back, because we also got to look ahead at what we're doing. That's what's going to get us wherever it is we're going. And we're spending a lot of time looking back at things as a society, as a species. We spend an awful lot of our time with our memories and not enough time with our imaginations. And ahead at what we're going to do and what we really want to do and who we really want to be. And I guess that's about it.
Well, I can't believe that in the 21st century that we are still beating each other about the head and shoulders with clubs. I can't believe that we spend the money that we spend on weapons of absolute mass destruction.
Yeah, I can't believe it. After all the wars we have had to end all wars, World War I, World War II, and then, you know, all those that have come since that appear to be more humane wars now, but that's an illusion. It's just the control of the media that does that. But all of these wars, I can't believe that we still want to hurt each other. It's not getting us anywhere. It's alienating us.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder for any of us to.
After the thousands of years that we have been assaulting each other on this earth.
Yeah.
Thousands of years in one way or another. To be at that same position just with bigger clubs, to me is just lunacy. If we hadn't learned anything from our Christian faith or from a Muslim Islam faith or from any faith on earth, it's that peace is the way, and the amount of trillions and trillions, hundreds of trillions of dollars spent around the world on weaponry. Imagine what we could do with that money for society. You know, we'd be able to heal the sick. We'd be able to house the homeless, feed the hungry, you know, educate the ignorant.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be able to do all of this and still have time to explore the universe as it should be explored. The amount of money we pour into space projects is pitiful compared to how much money we spend on weaponry every year. So,
I might add, okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I might add, the money we spend into our space exploration and things like that is completely disproportionate to the amount of progress it's making.
I mean.
It's apparently stalled, but we're still pouring, or when I say we, Americans are still pouring money into it. Why is that? Who are we paying, and what are they doing? Why are we paying these officials to monitor the skies when there's so many independent, small, individual people doing it?
Yeah.
You know, why not let me dial in a link on my computer and latch into whatever that satellite is showing at the time? You know, I'm talking about the ones that are looking out, not the ones that are looking in.
Right.
You know, why not? Well, there's only one obvious reason that I can come up with, and that's because they don't want us to see what it is that's up there.
Maybe so. I tell you, here's something I found interesting. I got it, I think, out of the Ottawa Citizen. Ottawa, Canada storyline. Canada is being urged to lead a new international effort to ban so-called killer robots, the new generation of deadly high-tech equipment that can select and fire on targets without human assistance. The campaign to stop killer robots is pushing for a new international treaty to ban such weapons from the battlefields of the future. Now, apparently this Paul Hannon, he's the head of Mines Action Canada. He said the development of such autonomous weapons, primitive versions of the Terminator of Hollywood fame, and signals a profound change in the very nature of warfare. So this Paul Hannon is trying to convince Ottawa to climb on board this train regarding autonomous weapons in the field.
Wasn't the Terminator a time traveler?
I thought he was too, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look, so either and it wouldn't surprise me, so either they have the technology time traveling crap, or... And I'm not calling time traveling crap. I'm talking whatever they're doing is crap. But either they have the technology to do it, or this guy is so full of crap nobody wants automated soldiers running around that we would not be able to control. But if they're talking about it, they probably already got the technology.
True.
You know, it's probably out there. And how would we stop it?
50 years ahead.
How would we stop it? Is the signing of some legislation going to stop this if somebody has that technology? I really don't think so. I think the government is just about over if somebody has that technology.
Right.
If corporations have that technology and produce it, it's all over. Don't you think?
Well, you look at, I do. I think, you know, I'm very concerned with the world affairs. Especially the political posturings of late, it's not looking well for a healthy outcome. You know, you look around the world, and you've got Syria, and you've got Iran, and now you've got Israel and the Palestinians are starting to kick up again. You've got Turkey huffing and puffing. You know, you've got Afghanistan that is going to re-elect the Taliban back into their government, which the United States and coalition took 12 years to get rid of them. And they're just going to move straight back into the positions that they had prior to the gazillion trillion dollar war. It's almost like the more we do, the less we accomplish, because the amount of money that was spent in Afghanistan and the Taliban are systematically turning it back into the hole that it was before we got there.
Well, and that seemed to, what happened in Vietnam, same thing.
Yeah.
The war in Vietnam, many participated, France, Canada, and as soon as it was over, nothing had changed.
Yeah.
But a lot of people got rich.
Same as the Korean conflict, when you think about it, right? It wasn't a war, it was a police action, you know?
Yeah.
And look where we are. We've got 32,000 American soldiers on a demilitarized zone on the 48th parallel, that is standing between North and South Korea killing each other. You've got Kim Jong-un...
Yeah.
Playing with nuclear missiles and firing off missile tests, firing missiles all over the place. And then you've got Iran that have basically all but admitted that they will have a nuclear weapon in short order. And there's nothing that can be done for the West to stop them now. We've given them
the time
they needed. They've been stalling long enough.
I come back to the crap they try and feed us, even just the buzzwords, the terminology. If there's that many soldiers standing there fighting there, it's not a demilitarized zone anymore.
Exactly. Yes.
Call it
exactly.
Something
it's
else.
Very much, well, it's the most highly militarized area in the world. Per square.
Yeah, that's over. That demilitarized stuff, that's over. Now it's militarized. Catch up.
Yeah. And I also caught here's another story that I thought really totally off base, but it appears that all kinds of animals, elk, moose, bears, wildcats, are leaving Yellowstone. So you're leaving the Yellowstone area.
That's one of the scariest things that I heard, and that I heard that a short while ago, I guess maybe a week ago or so ago, that they're going out in droves, and they're usually right, from what I understand.
Now, with everything that we've spoken about tonight, with the politics around the world and the Vladimir Putins and the Obamas, all of that doesn't mean a hill of beans. If Yellowstone lets go, all bets are off.
No,
all around the world, all bets are off.
How about we just look away from the razzle dazzle, the politics, and the mainstream media, and even Hollywood is putting in front of us on a constant basis. Just look away from that all for a while. I bet you if people did that more often, they would, every time they look back at it, they'd realize how full of crap that system is. You know, you'd become more sensitized to the hypocrisy and the lies and the whole illusion propaganda. If you looked away from it for a while, it's not going to bite you in the back. It's already bitten you.
But watching the evacuation of wild animals from Yellowstone. I mean, Yellowstone is one hell of a cauldron. You know, if that thing lets go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's things going on this planet that you need to pay attention to. And watching the political scene all the time, and watching the movies, and even listening to the news on television, this is all distracting you from what's going on, because they're not telling you what's going on.
No, they're telling you what they want you to hear.
How many times have you turned on the television in the last week and seen anything at all to do with Yellowstone Park, except maybe a quick 30-second blurb on the news where they think, oh, isn't that interesting, and it's all written off, and away they go on to the next story?
Yeah, they do as a wild animal, an escaped wild animal story. Yeah, I agree. But I just find it interesting that with all of the dangers around the world, why it is in the best interest for any government to keep their citizens in ignorance. It would seem to me that to have a successful government of the people, by the people, for the people, it must be exactly that. Ceases to be that, that's when it has to be changed.
But there is no such government anymore, Colin. There's no government of the people or for the people.
Right.
And the people that the government is by are handpicked and part of an elite system that now, I'm not saying the average person can't get into politics and maybe even go up the ladder a ways, but he's handpicked, and if he pisses off the wrong people, he's going to be out as fast as he got in. And there is no government of the people, by the people, and for the people. A government of the people and by the people would not punish half the things that we do. Half the things that are crimes on the books right now would not be crimes if it was a government of the people, by the people.
Right. It is kind of crazy when you start hearing the arguments to and fro of the American system. I know the big electoral college is a big stink now, but looking past all of that, looking at the Canadian politics, you know, you've got Prentice now is stepping up to go for Premier of Alberta. You've got Mason, the NDP, the head of the NDP, New Democratic Party, stepping down today. I thought that was very interesting.
I haven't heard that, but that is interesting.
Yeah, Mason stepped down today. And then, of course, you've got the witch hunt for wondering where Redford is, and the photographs of her being in a restaurant down in Palm Springs.
Here's the way I see it. Wherever Redford is, I don't care. Don't want to know from Redford anymore. She annoyed me. Crap out of me when she was the premier, and she's gone. That's good. Mason stepping down, I want to say thank you to him, not for his time in office, but for stepping down. And as for Prentice, hey buddy, you're going to get what you deserve. That's all I say.
Yeah. careful what you wish for, right?
That's right.
You know, because Prentice was kind of in waiting to see what Harper was going to do, because there was a little buzz there a while ago that Prime Minister Harper was not going to run for the next term, and therefore they'd have to replace him. And they were, now that we lost our finance minister quickly, mm-hmm. there's no prince in waiting. So Prentice was kind of eyeing the federal level. But, Jim Prentice, I think he'll do well in Alberta if he became premier. But I don't know whether he can recondition. I don't know whether he can recondition the party.
It doesn't matter, because this party had a revolutionary new idea in politics. At least it hasn't been done for a little while.
That's
the party split. party split and created the opposition, and so whichever one you vote for, they're all the old conservative guard.
Isn't that the truth? We got to get out of here, Hugh.
Yeah, it's been
Take
a pleasure,
care,
Tom.
We'll catch you on next week's show.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerrorChat Network production.